We're back on Sunday Morning Live, the People's Station, Magic 102.1. It's 10:34, 26 minutes before 10 o'clock. Val Wilson, along with yours truly, J. Thomas Smith. And in this segment of the program, we have three very distinguished gentlemen. Ron Wilson, who serves as Director of the Office of Civil Rights, the OCR, for the state of Texas. The office is responsible for affirmative action, employee Title VII discrimination investigations, and Title VI equal employment opportunity contract compliance. The office oversees the disadvantaged business enterprise and small business enterprise certification programs and the DBE compliance elements of business outreach and program services. And as you know, before that, he served as a state representative in District 131 for a number of years and continues to serve the people of the state of Texas in his current role. Also on the panel, we have William Gilliard, Hilliard, William Jerry Hilliard, who is the conservatorship member on the for the Riverside General Hospital. Other than that, Mr. Hilliard is a business advisor and consultant, and he's on the program also. And also Robert Gilmore Sr. He's a minister, a counselor, and a community activist, I would think. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good morning.
And boy, this is you're a very lively group. Yeah. But today, I mean, you know, I when I thought of calling you all, I had just read in the paper about issues going on with Riverside General Hospital and the fact that they were saying that they maybe not be have enough money to last another 6 weeks or 6 months. And I thought this is some very important news. I mean, Riverside has been around for what 95, 96, 97 years?
96.
Yeah. 96
years. Celebrated Juneteenth.
Wow. And it was originally Houston Negro Hospital, right?
Yes.
Until 1961 when it was named Riverside General.
Yes.
And for a long time, it was, it's been serving the Third Ward area and the black community for a long time. That was the only place black folks could go in Houston.
That's right.
And so in recent years, it's become more of a special purpose hospital as opposed to a general hospital. Mm-hmm. And you're doing a lot of work with in the mental health arena and helping people in recovery from various addictions. And so it is indeed a special purpose hospital and a viable hospital that is the indication seems to suggest that it needs to be there. So let's talk about it. What's the current plight? What's going on with Riverside General? By the way, mind you, Ron Wilson and Jerry Hilliard are been appointed conservators along with Manson Johnson, who is the minister of Goodhope?
Yes.
Holman Street Baptist Church. Okay, he couldn't be here today because he's got a heck of a sermon here. He just had to deliver this morning.
Yeah.
So you all understand where I'm coming from. So we have two conservative members, and of course, Dr. Gilmore, being an activist in the community and active in mental health. We want to talk about the importance of Riverside, why it needs to be, and what you, the listener, can do to make it continue to be a viable contributor to the community. Our phone number is 713-390-5102, 713-390-5102 for your thoughts, questions, feedback, just whatever you've got to say. We want to hear from you. So what's the real story with Riverside right now? Where does it stand fiscally and
you want me to take
that
one? Well, we're not going to close in 6 weeks.
Good.
We do have financial problems in that we've been cut off from certain federal funds, from certain state funds, but we're making it. In fact, our largest lender, in fact, I haven't even gotten to tell Ron, is he is looking to make a substantial loan to us to give us additional working capital.
Mm-hmm.
And that should easily take us through the end of the year. And by that time, I hope Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, who is been diligently working on our behalf with different departments up in Washington. And then Ron has been working with the governor's office we will substantially receive some funds that are due us.
Now, I think it's important for the community to know that tell us about the population that you serve.
Well, I guess I can handle that one, too. I want to let Ron do a lot of the talking. But it's kind of amazing because if you really look at the population, 65% of our patients now are Caucasian.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's
it is. And, yes, we're in a predominantly black area or African man. I'm not politically correct sometimes.
No, it's okay. We're not worried about politics here.
I'm surprised.
So in other words, but basically, with regard to the type of treatment they're getting is for mental health, schizophrenia.
Right now we're not handling the mental health portion.
Okay.
We just reopened up our detox, medical detox, which we are the only medical detox hospital in Region 6.
Wow.
We get people from Beaumont. I mean, we serve about an 11-county area
mm-hmm.
because there isn't truly medical detox available for alcohol, for drug abuse. We do have what I call the Barbara Jordan Center,
mm-hmm.
which is also known as the Houston Recovery Center. That is a licensed drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. We're at 95% capacity there.
Yeah.
And that is residential, where the people come for 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time. We handle adolescents. We even work with HISD. We hold school there if we have adolescents. We adult male, adult female, and females with children.
Yeah.
And we have the children there, too.
Wow. Yeah, and I noticed that the plant, the property has a lot of improvement over the years. It looks great.
We've received some FEMA funds that we've done a lot. The Barbara Jordan Center just had a little over $800,000 worth of new windows put in. They're Category 3 hurricane-resistant windows, really dressed up the place. And it's a wonderful facility. And if someone would take a tour of it, I think they'd be highly impressed. Now, the main hospital on Ennis is and part of the reason why we don't have the psychiatric unit up right this moment is that we are getting and doing remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had to tear out a lot of what was there just to get rid of mold and just different areas. Mm-hmm. We're going to spend $11 million.
Wow. How are the programs funded? Obviously, a lot of the folks who are receiving services there are low income, and how are their services paid for?
Medicare, which right now we're having problems with, Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
The state has a grant with us. We also have HMO, PPOs that we're participating with.
Mm.
Private pay, and then if the person is determined indigent, we absorb the cost.
Okay.
Yeah. See, what's happened with the hospital is that the feds came in and made some allegations, made some allegations about the people that were there. Ernest Gibson was one. And about a number of others, they did convict at least one person I know of, but they're so focused on those people, and the hospital has been left basically with nothing.
Mm.
That's why the federal government came in and appointed this three-member observance automatic. Everything has to go through the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know, I think in, Gibson's trial would be in August, is it right?
Either September or October.
Okay. September or August. So we've got to wait and see what happens with that. But in the meantime, hospital needs to continue conduct this business.
Yeah.
And what they've done is they've switched over that what they're supposed to conduct over to the hospital, and we've been caught with all of the bad things that have been thrown at the hospital. So what we've done is try and get us back to square one so we can operate, and we will be able to operate.
So they've frozen some of the funds, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And we're going to be able to operate quite well. We have tons of property. Tons. Man, you have no idea how much property we have now. So, you know, we'll get along. But in the meantime, the trial for Ernest Gibson will be held, as it said, in
September,
I guess. Yeah. In September. So, once that's taken care of, I think it'll be fine. Ernest has done a lot of great things for the hospital. I mean, he's been there a long time. Amazing things. He has stood up for the hospital probably when a lot of people don't even know that. He stood up for the hospital when the hospital didn't have anybody.
I remember.
And goddammit, excuse my French.
That's okay.
He's been there. So God bless him. And if you have any prayers or thoughts, please throw them his way. But we're gonna continue on with hospital.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we are concerned about in the community is number one, the accountability of Riverside Hospital to the community.
Mm-hmm.
The original development of the hospital, the history of the hospital, has been towards the community. The medical staff, the people who've been there, including Mr. Gibson, again, God bless his soul, but the Texas has one of the highest rates of fraud across the state and the country. So, anybody caught vandalizing or being fraud needs to go to jail or whatever they need to do. That's just the reality of what we're dealing with today in this climate. Riverside Hospital, however, under the leadership of the late Dr. George Drake, brought in one of the first addictionologist programs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that, Dr. George Drake was a legend, if you would.
I worked with him.
All right, then. You remember he used to have us with all these charts and models explaining every LCDC in the country before this movement came up. Now, all of a sudden, it seems like Riverside has been locked out. I think, too, that one of the things that Dr. Drake brought to the table was a tremendous number of partnerships. Mm-hmm. He had partnerships with hospitals throughout this region, which I think for us in the community, when I hear Ms. Hitter say about 65% Anglo, that's fine, but we have a tremendous number of African Americans who are suffering from mental illness and addiction problems who need to be in that facility. And I think that was one of the expansive modes of Riverside that needs to be investigated. Now, I'm going to say to the conservators who have been appointed by whomever to oversee this, you are accountable to the community. I think that my issue right now, as I'm bringing for the community, is that you need to come to the community, make contact with the community. Ron knows where the community is. Whether he's going to identify them or not is his business. Reverend Manson Johnson knows where the community is. Whether he's going to identify them or not, also you. I'm asking all three of you to be more identifiable with the community in terms of what we would like to see happen, how we can help, because we've been involved from day one. with Riverside. Well, and that's all we're asking. So we know about this property.
So what would you like to see happen?
We'd like to see them, number one, come to the community with some ideas that we can bounce around each other. Because I think at this point, we got enough place. I was at a funeral yesterday. The young lady who got killed, domestic violence situation, left three beautiful children. I was at that funeral yesterday, and Candace, that was just tragic. Candace Williams, she should have had some intervention. Riverside provided those kinds of training programs throughout the community.
Does Riverside provide dual diagnosis treatment or just addiction?
It did once upon a time, and it can.
Does it or does it not at this time?
Oh, I don't know. He had to answer that. Do they provide dual diagnosis?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. Okay. So those are some very important issues, and obviously, I would hope that there is some dialogue going on. And
well, we're saying this, number one. We know that this controversy that had blew up with the financial matters with the feds was something else, and so we don't want to get in that.
Okay.
We want to get
we
into
don't have
the
time
services.
For it
of, we want to get into the services that Riverside offers. Like Ron said, Riverside had, they were going into residential.
Yeah.
They were going into some other treatment areas before this went down. We don't want that to be left on the table.
Right.
And I think that Quarnell X and Ms. Provost and several other groups of people are very concerned because there's been no communication to the community. And if you're going to be in a position of responsibility, appointed or not, then we want some accountability.
Okay,
and I think that's only fair for the community after almost 90-some years.
Let me say something. Okay, about the accountability. We were appointed by the federal judge. The accountability we have as a part of these appointments is to him and to people and the folks Riverside. I can stand as somebody on the board who has been overly accountable. And anybody will tell you that I've been overly accountable to the people in this whole community. So don't come to me about accountability.
Wait a minute.
And so we are accountable to the people we're supposed to be. The people that he appointed are accountable to the Riverside. And we are trying to do everything we can to make sure Riverside stays functioning.
Question: this is a nonprofit. They have your board members, right? Right?
No. Right now. That's the point.
Oh, okay.
No.
See, okay. That's what the conservatorship.
But I mean, before they did. But it began. But he is correct. If they were appointed by the court, then their accountability is to the court. So perhaps the folks in the community may want to make some sort of interact with the court in some way to see if the court can.
No, it's just a period of time they're going to be appointed. I think it's just the same thing happened to Texas Southern when they reduced the board. I mean, it's no big deal for a nonprofit just to maintain a nonprofit. All we're saying is that just like these excellent plans, I think the plans are wonderful.
Okay, don't have much time now. Yeah, so.
But the plans are wonderful, but the community needs to be engaged. Just like he mentioned, about 65% of the clients right now are Anglo. We ain't got no problem with that, but we know that there are African Americans in the community who need support services.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's take a phone call. Line one, Reginald.
Hey, good morning. Hey, look, you know, I feel that it's appalling how we've lost our black radio stations, we've lost our schools, we're in position to lose Riverside Hospital. We've had community development block grant money come through, and we misappropriate and give it to other entities. We need to hold our representatives accountable for some of that money. And I feel saddened that we misappropriated money that was at Riverside. We misappropriated money for community development. Some of the money that Manson Johnson is one of the entities that needs to be investigated for misappropriating dollars.
Okay, just keep it short. We don't have a few seconds left.
Okay, we need to get them. You got the Fox Guard and the Hen House there, and the people who are overseeing it are people who did gentrification and some things. Look inside HCCS and flip this deal, and you will be surprised what Manson Johnson and that is doing to help gentrify that neighborhood for misappropriating dollars. So we need to do better with our oversight and accountability, especially our community development block grant
okay.
money.
Okay. Thank you, Reginald. Of course, we can. That's his opinion, and there's been no facts that I know of that to substantiate anything, and nobody's been indicted or anything, so let's not make those kind of allegations about
But that's one of the realities that the perception is in people's minds. Yeah. I think what we have to do is understand that people are going to have perceptions. Even if you have progress, particularly in Third Ward, I've been in Third Ward all my life. I'm saying progress is coming.
Well, it always does. You can't hold back progress. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. So anyway, hey, gentlemen, I mean, this obviously can go on and on. I mean, I thank you both for coming out and at least giving us a snapshot of what the issues are with regard to Riverside General Hospital. And I'm sure it will survive. I'm sure they've got three very accomplished and qualified individuals as conservators. And, of course, the passion that you display about what the communities need to be involved, it's very well presented. And we know that the story continues. We'll hear more soon. So, as they say in TV and radio land, stay tuned. Okay, we'll have more for you coming up. It's 10:54.